Will the Senate please come to order? Members, please note their presence by voting. Secretary will please take the roll.
The roll shows 16 senators present this morning. Senator Dankert and Senator Petula are excused from the call of Senator Shade.
Will the Senate please rise for prayer? Pastor Jim Patton, Chapel by the Lake.
Let us all pray. Our God and our Father, again we turn to you, seeking that quality, that support, which come only from you. Be present in the deliberations and the actions of this Senate. Guide, sustain, and encourage the ladies and gentlemen who participate. Give them an increasing awareness of the far-reaching effects of their words and their decisions. Give them your compassion and your love for those who are under the sphere of their influence. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Will the Secretary please certify us to the correctness of the Daily Journal? Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal for the 31st legislative day and Senate supplement number 8 be approved as certified.
Hearing no objection, the journal is certified. This brings us down to introduction of guests. Does any member have a guest to introduce? Senator Homan.
In the left gallery, I'd like to introduce a person from Bethel, the executive director of the Association of Village Council Presidents, Inc., Mr. Carl Jack.
Further guests? Are there any messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Any messages from the other house?
Message of February 13th. The House has concurred with the Senate amendment to the May 17th, the House of
Health, Education, and Social Services, Judiciary.
May substitute for Hospital 532 by the Judiciary Committee and ask permitting the videotaping of testimony of one victim of sexual assault or sexual abuse of a minor and change in Rule 804 of Hospital Rules of Evidence relating to exceptions to the administrative rule.
Judiciary Finance. Any communications?
We have no communications.
Any reports of standing committees?
The Resources Committee considers Senate Bill 158 purchase of property proposed under repeal of laws, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass, signed Senator Sumner, Chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Graham, Camp, and Beeman. Senator Perdue signed do not pass, Senators Mulcahy and Bankford signed no recommendation, 158 as per the referral to finance. The resources committee considered Senate Bill 235. These are state land by nonprofit organizations, and a majority of the committee recommends should pass, signed Senator Sumner, Chairman, concurring Senators Graham, Camp, and Beeman. Senator Mulcahy, Perdue, and Dankford signed no recommendation. 335 has approved referral to finance. The Health Education and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill 364, special appropriation to legislative council for a sound quality control of education social. And the majority of the state recommends to pass, signed Senator Half, the chairman, concurring Senator Barron Camp, and Senator Durisky. Senator Ferguson signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 364 has further referral to finance. The finance committee considered House Bill 684 allows for investments to the general fund in insured mortgages. And reports of that as follows with the committee substitute. Senator Holman, chairman, signed to do pass. Senators Ray, Patrick, and Bennett signed no recommendation. House Bill 684 has no good referral.
Rules.
Is your mic on?
They put a switch on it yesterday. Also, Deska. We have at this time Senate Bill 509 that came down. There was a motion pending at the time. Oh, we might as well go into it. That's reports of standing committee. I'll just soon take care of it. this is an automatic motion on a bill that comes down without a due pass on it. Shall Senate Bill 509 be referred to rules notwithstanding the committee report?
I'm not sure, and I want to get the record straight, whether or not my call withstood or survived adjournment yesterday. And if it did, I'm going to remove the call at this time anyhow.
Thank you. The question is, shall Senate Bill 509 be referred to rules? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote?
Mr. President, yours isn't short.
The secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 3 nays, and 2 excused.
And so Senate Bill 509 is in rules. Senator Homer?
Mr. President, I'd move that Senate Bill 509 be returned to Finance Committee.
Senator Ray, that's withdrawing.
I would imagine
bill
that,
from
the, that the chairman of the rules would have to accede to that.
Stand at ease, please.
Yes. Senate, please come back to order. Senator Homan.
Mr. President, relative to the motion before us, I'd like to read the text of some telegrams, which I believe that you received, and I think that the membership should be aware of. First telegram, oppose lockup of $900 million when we need financing to stay alive. Jay Sullivan, Fairbanks. 25% for permanent fund is enough for future generations. $900 million now for homes and business loans. August Johnson, same town. Third telegram, why don't you listen to your electorate? We want low-interest home and business loans now. Jerry Evans, same town. When you need money for your campaigns, get it from Bill Ray, or try to get it out of the permanent fund. Bob Mason, Fairbanks. We are going broke, and you're giving yourselves a 47% pay raise and lock up $900 million so that we can't use it in any way without a constitutional amendment. Vic Hart. We have $500 million in the permanent fund now. We must stimulate our economy before you bury another $900 million. Bill Hager. We don't want 12% outside investment. We want 8% loans for Alaskans. John Hadukovich. Read the polls, read the surveys, read your mail, and give us some financing. Joe Jakovich. Leave the $900 million in Alaska and send the legislature outside. Jerry Million. Use the $900 million to save our dying businesses. Posterity will get along fine on the 25%. Wilmer Precing. $900 million in 8% Alaska loans can be leveraged in the tax-free bond market to $5 to $7 billion for industrial and commercial development. Martin Nelson. The average net yield to the state on all of its investments in the past 10 years hasn't been 8%. Yet you're locking up the $900 million because of the temporary artificial rate of 12 to 13%. Shame. Scotty Masons, or Hastings. $900 million more? Huh. Enjoy your pay raises. There is a new public opinion poll coming out in August called an election. Norman Vignola. We need low-interest home loans and business loans to allow many small business people to survive the winter. Why do you sterilize $900 million that is needed to lubricate our economy? Daryl McBurney. Public television shows you burying $900 million more in the permanent fund. This money is needed for business and home loans to improve our dismal economy. First things first. Stanley Steffens. If loan money isn't soon available, many more small business people will be forced to take the bankruptcy route. Putting money into the permanent fund isn't going to help those in need. Please act soon. Larry Orsini. Move the state capital wherever you want, but keep the $900 million where it will stimulate Fairbanks' dying economy. Lawrence Jefferson. This is from a dog musher, I understand, by the name of Harvey Drake. If I treated my dogs like you're treating us, the ASPCA would lock me up. Let the $900 million run loose in Alaska. Don't leave it chained in the truck. A year ago, many of you promised to help me get a direct business loan after administrative cutoff of my veterans application. Now you've locked away most of the money that we'll probably need for the loan programs. How many more years must I wait? Donald Hayes or Mays? You should declare Fairbanks a disaster area if we don't soon get business loan money. What good is a sterile permanent fund? Thomas Mitchell. Please tell me where you're moving the permanent fund in the lower 48 so I can be near my money. Campbell Bias. First you feed and clothe our children, then you put the money in the bank for their future. Jack Johnson. Please keep reminding us how rich our kids are going to be as we sink slowly into bankruptcy. Larry Thompson. There's apparently a lot of concern in this community, and I think it's prevalent throughout the state, about locking up $900 million additional dollars in the permanent fund. I think that the bill should be returned to Finance Committee, where we can study in committee, in an appropriate committee, the implications of that act.
Senator Ziegler?
Mr. President, what Senator Homan just had to say will truly be germane and relevant on Tuesday when we have before us Senate Bill 302. The real thing that we're confronted with right now is, are we going to allow a bill to be pulled from the committee? And I'd like to hear from the Rules Committee Chairman as to how he, as the chairman of that committee, feels.
Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, if you would allow, I'd like to make a few comments on the measure itself in response to telegrams that Senator Homan just read. I think he points out an issue that maybe needs some clarification. All of the information that I can gather, and I find myself in complete accord with most of the things that Senator Homan has to say. That's also my desire, that that money be made available. But the information that I've been able to gather, independent of hearsay and from people that supposedly know, is that what he's saying would only be true after an operating plan is adopted. If the House plan were adopted, his utterances are completely correct. But I don't see that occurring. I think there's a strong expression from the majority of this body that that money should go to the permanent fund, but it should be invested in Alaska. The financial people I've spoken to say there's no greater security than purchasing Alaskan insured mortgages. So, you know, either way, it seems that $900 million has to be invested someplace. Under the Senate's proposal, it most certainly will be invested in Alaska. Under 161, that's another story. And to that I would not be party to, because then it definitely would be locking some money up. But that has not happened. Nothing's going to happen to that $900 million at this point in time, other than literally earmarking it to go to an activity that will parallel, as far as I'm concerned, what Senator Homan has been advocating for 3 years. I would not be party to it under 161, but I find it not objectionable at all to earmark some monies to the effort that would parallel the methodology employed conceptually in Senate Bill number one. As far as the motion to return from the Rules Committee to finance the bill, I have no objections on a time certain. I would suspect that the Vice Chairman of Finance is committed to commit to a time certain, or if he wishes to defer and wait until the Chairman is here on Tuesday, but I would certainly release it to the Finance Committee on a time certain provision.
Senator Homan.
Just for clarity, the Senate Bill 161, which Senator Coletta referred to, is the, and which he indicated he had some reservations about the impact, the potential detrimental impact of that bill. I wanted to clearly identify it as the House Permanent Fund Management concept. And I agree with what he said relative to 161. And it's true that I've maintained a position for going on 3 years now with regard to the permanent fund and its utilization. And I've been pretty much brainwashed. I'm really firm in my belief that Senate Bill, sponsor substitute Senate Bill 1 reflects a bill that would reap maximum benefits for Alaskans. And in response to Senator Ziegler's questions of the Rules Chairman, I'd like to point out that this is the very same bill he was suggesting the pulling of the bill from the Rules Committee. It's the very same bill that this floor pulled from Finance earlier in the week. It's not the same bill number, but it's the concept. We've already pulled the bill. What we're trying to do with our action today, my motion, is to return that bill to Senate Finance.
Senator Ziegler.
There was a difference. Perhaps it won't satisfy Senator Homan, but I did not know at the time that I voted, well, we voted 16-2-2 to appropriate the $900 million. That doesn't make me very smart, but it is true. But this is a flagrant attempt, in my opinion, to jerk the bill from committee. There can't be any doubt about what's going on today. And I wish the chairman of the Rules Committee were not such a Mr. Nice Guy. Because if I were the chairman of the Rules Committee, I'd get up and say, hell no, I don't want a bill jerked from my committee unless I approve of it.
I think he said the same thing. I mean, just a little
nicer. Well, perhaps.
The question is, shall House Bill 509 be taken by rules and from rules and referred to?
We stand at ease, Mr. President.
Senator, please come back to order. Senator Homan.
Mr. President, reasonable people can come to solutions, right?
Unreasonable
solution. The rules chairman has requested or indicated that he would condone returning the bill to Senate Finance Committee if he had a time certain commitment from the Finance Committee to bring the bill back before the body or to report the bill out and have it returned to Rules Committee. And I have no problem with that. I think that the permanent fund deliberations and the $900 million general fund into the permanent fund appropriation relate. We have set up a schedule for a permanent fund hearings, and I think if we coordinate this $900 million appropriation bill with that permanent fund free conference committee schedule, we can indicate a time certain to be reported out of finance to be March the 21st, which is a Friday. And I would make that commitment on behalf of the Senate Finance Chairman.
It's nice to hear. Could we be at ease a moment?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson.
Couldn't resist.
Senate, please come back to order. The motion is to return House Bill 509 to the Finance Committee to a time certain, that is March 21st. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, that is a reasonable compromise, and of course it does fit the schedule that Senator Homan has distributed to every member as to the time that's being devoted and when to the permanent fund. But now that we have an issue that's been quite controversial and emotional for most of us, almost put to bed, I'd like to suggest that we don't open up a new one because of lack of understanding. It's my impression that sending the bill now back to the Finance Committee takes and negates and nullifies the action that we took 2 days ago when an amendment was tantamount to pulling the bill. That measure is still on a reconsideration, and it's an action now that has been corrected, at least in my mind, because the $900 million, although at the time the amendment was placed, was tantamount to pulling the bill from committee, that's no longer true with the action that's about to occur here today, because the bill was no longer in the Finance Committee, and 302 has not been acted upon now. So the amendment no longer should be considered as having pulled that measure from the Finance Committee, because the Rules Committee are now sending $900 million measure back to the Finance Committee.
Question, Mr. President, through the chair to the Majority Leader, is he suggesting that at this time we rescind our action and holding 302 over and taking it up at this time as a special order of business?
No, that isn't what I said at all, Mr. President.
I'm trying to help
measure,
you say
that it. Measure is being reconsidered to Tuesday's calendar.
I was attempting to help him say it.
I'm sure you were.
What I'm suggesting is that since there seems to be at least a little teeny bit of levity occurring in here, at least it's in the atmosphere, that we keep it that way from now on. 302 is an action that was behind us. A lot of us have been embarrassed. A lot of us have been humbled, justifiably so. A lot of us have to give each other apologies. But the actions on 302 are behind us. Nobody pulled anything knowingly now. 509, which addresses the $900 million, is being returned from the Rules Committee to the Finance Committee in time certain.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I think that that there should be possibly an explanation of sorts given here, and perhaps an interpretation. There's been a lot of talk and suggestions that there was some kind of a break in the protocol or the break in tradition or a courtesy in some of the actions that were taken on Senate Bill 302. And I think if you look very closely at the amendment in relation to the existing bill that's in finance, you'll see they have a correlation only in the amount of money. And they have nothing to do with the management provisions, which is the heart and guts of the bill. This is just a simple transfer of money from the general fund to the permanent fund with no strings attached. I can see that with the present compromise and the good feeling that seems to have filtered in here and is, I hope, as the good senator from Angus say, leavening some of our feelings, I hope that this will continue as with the senator from Bethel continuing his work, which he's been at for two or three years in attempting to find a solution to the permanent fund different from that is held forth by the House. Because if the majority of the people on this floor were in agreement with the House position, I think that we would already have passed the bill and been gone, and there wouldn't have been any argument. I don't think that the majority of the people here are in full or in total agreement with the House approach at this time.
Senator Ziegler?
I have a parliamentary inquiry now, and I want to get this straight in my mind. 302 is scheduled to come before us again on Tuesday for a final dispositive vote. Now, I want to know, when it comes back before us, is anybody going to raise the question, we're jerking the bill from the Senate Finance Committee? I'd like to be reassured on that point.
Senator Harmon?
Mr. President, 12 is a dozen, right? You can call it a dozen or you can call it 12, but it's still a dozen. The speech, Senator Coletta's remarks, his interpretation of the action on 302 the other day, the absolve me of all my sins speech, you know, reminds me of the time I was sitting at the poker table and the deck had gone around a couple times when one of the newcomers asked the question, If a player gets caught cheating, can he return the money and go on playing, you know? I think there's an analogy there, you know? I think that the player that's gotten caught cheating has been cheating, right? And he's dead, as far as I'm concerned.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, Senator Ray made a good point. Most of the track laying, I believe, is the way the local news commentators refer to the actions that have transpired the past few days here, have been attributed to him. And, you know, it just proves that any plan, until it becomes operational, nobody knows what's going to occur on it. Most of this flap, I think, did occur because of some comments that Senator Ray made after 302 had been finalized. Senator Ziegler got up today and tried to assure everyone that for at least a fleeting instance, he was not very smart, and it didn't dawn on him that a measure was being pulled from committee. I think many of us were in that same boat. But Senator Ray got up and brought to our attention that we had taken that action. And just now, he got up and said that we hadn't done that. The measure that's on 302 is nowhere near, other than just dollar value, similar to 509. So, you know, I don't know which way. He's a Finance Committee member.
Mr. President.
I'll let Senator Ray first because it was his name that was used. So,
Mr. President, you know, somebody must have opened the windows or the air conditioner is rapidly blowing the feeling of goodwill from this body. And as long as we're of one kind again, of one mind to cut and thrust, irrespective of the 5-minute strategies, let me remind the majority leader through the chair that I had never have said that this was a violation of any protocol. I suggested that perhaps we might have inadvertently discharged the Finance Committee. And if so, if this was actually true, I would give an apology to Senator Sackett. I didn't say anything about apologizing to the majority leader or anybody else. Now, there's never any time that I have intimated what my course of action. The media says what they think I was doing. I wasn't doing anything but playing fair, because you all know what playing fair is. You all know what you do unto others you would like them have to do unto you. And some of you got done to you what you try to do to somebody else.
Oh, Senator Holman, are you here to clarify your motion?
No, I'm here to add to the confusion. What I've heard here is expressions of guilt, you know. I think that what we did was clearly violate some of our rules of procedure. We did pull a bill from committee, and I can understand why one of the more dignified and members of the body, the person who is attuned to protocol more than the rest of us, keeps us straight and proper, doesn't want to be reminded of that act on Tuesday or at any time in the future when we discuss it again. And I think that, you know, Senator Ray's behavior the other day is very understandable to me. He saw a very critical issue to his area rise, and he fought it with every tool available to him. And I don't fault him for that, you know. If I were concerned with representing my constituency, I'd resort to pulling a bill from committee. But I'll tell you this, I'd be very surprised to see the body support it. And I think that's where we fell down. I don't resent Senator Ray's action at all.
Do I have your motion right, Senator Holman, that you move to send House Bill 509 from Rules back to Finance to a time certain, March 21st?
Yes, sir, you do.
Ask unanimous consent.
I asked a very simple question about 10 minutes ago. If we vote the wrong way, according to Senator Holman's lights, on Tuesday on 302, are we going to get charges you're voting to bring a bill out of the Finance Committee?
I cannot guarantee that you won't receive charges of the same, Senator Ziegler. I intend to vote for putting $900 million in the permanent fund any chance I get under anything that's already passed. And I'd say the individual will have to make that decision himself. The arguments will be thick and fast, I'm sure. The chairman of finance will be back. I expect Tuesday to be a very interesting day. At the present moment, Are you ready to vote?
Yes, sir. Question.
Are there any objections to sending House Bill 509 back to Finance to a time certain, March 21st?
Ask unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent has been asked. Hearing no objection.
I'll object.
The question is, shall House Bill 509 be returned to Finance to a time certain, March 21? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 1 nay, 2 excused, 2 absent.
And so, House Bill 509 is now in Finance. Madam Secretary, will you continue with reports?
That's the end of the standing committee reports today.
That brings us down to the introduction of resolutions. Or is there reports of special committee?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution number 43 by the Labor Management Committee by request relating to the payment of extended unemployment benefits.
Labor and Management.
That's the only resolution today.
Introduction of first reading of bills.
Senate Bill number 438 by Senator Fahrenkamp, an act exempting certain sales of energy from regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 439 by Senators Stimson, Rohde, Sturgiewski, and Kelly, an act relating to workman's compensation for high school students enrolled in work-study courses and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Management, Finance.
Senate Bill number 440 by Senators Ray, Holman, Hackney, Bennett, and Sackett, an act relating to the withdrawal of land for a utility corridor for extension of the Alaska Railroad and providing for an effective date.
Mr. President, there was one inadvertent senator that was left off. Cthulhu should be on there, too. I'm very sorry. It was my fault.
Will that be added in alphabetical order?
Was Senator Sackett's name listed?
Yes.
Resources, Finance.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 341 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to scheduling oil and gas lease sales and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
Those are the bills this morning, Mr. President.
This brings us down to unfinished business.
Mr. President.
Senator Bradley.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the Senate, subject to a call tomorrow, Friday, February 15th.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, you are excused from a call of the Senate. Is there anything else on the unfinished business? Special. Oh, pardon me, sir.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the House tomorrow, Friday. I have to go visit my constituency.
Yes. Just keep in mind, of course, if you're within the borough of Juneau Douglas, you're not excused otherwise.
If you can find me, sir, you can bring me back.
I don't really know that I want to find you. without objection, Senator Ray is excused. I think I'm having a very mild mutiny here. Special orders not set for a particular time. Announcement of committee meeting.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Arlen. Senator Sturgiewski.
Mr. President, we'll be holding a combination public hearing and work session on a number of bills. Apparently we have a bit of a log jam upstairs. On the local government bills, Senate Bill 348 through 354, Senate Bill 436 relating to grants for sewer and water processing or disposal facilities, committee substitute for Senate Bill 131, issuance of GO bonds for the same purpose. We will not be able to take any action due to the log jam. Oh, 130, Buttrovich Room.
Senator Holman.
Pre-conference committee, Senate Bill 161, today, 1:30 p.m. in the Senate Finance Chambers. That's the purpose for the meeting is the presentation of the Senate bill on the permit fund.
Very good, sir. Any other committee announcements? Ms. Tergelewski?
Yes, may I ask for return to special orders to issue an announcement to this body, please? And I ask unanimous consent.
Hearing no objection.
Yes, Mr. President, I just wish to say that I spent a great deal of time on my feet calling for a more open process and debate on the floor. And I would like to make a request to the body that we can go back to the way it was. It might be a lot simpler. But I did want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day, as has been done by a number of constituents of mine. Thank you.
Senator Bennett.
Are we still under committee announcements, Mr. President?
Yes, sir. Well, we're under special orders. Does anybody have anything under special orders? We reverted to it. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the floor for the purpose of special orders.
Without objection, sir, you have the floor.
Mr. President, I'm somewhat troubled by what happened today, with particularly with regard to the inference that the Senate is not in favor of a revamped loan program that will provide to the citizens of Alaska benefits from our surplus treasury. I don't think that's true, and I resent that inference being made in the floor today personally, and I suspect that other members of the Senate feel equally strong about that. Let's dispel a few myths, first of all, with regard to the $900 million. We have $3 billion in the Treasury. If we take $900 million from that and have a $1.1 billion budget, we still have $1 billion to operate a loan program with, so that anybody that tells you that we're wiping out any loan programs or the potentiality of any loan programs is absolutely incorrect. Secondly, the difference between the House Permanent Fund Investment Program and the Senate Permanent Fund Investment Program is in terms of the corpus of the permanent fund is largely illusory. In both cases, the actual corpus will probably go outside to in very high grade securities. The question is, what will be done with the yield? What will be done with the leveraging possibility of that permanent fund? How will the returns of that be used? Will bonds be developed from that? That's the real question. Actually, where the corpus of the permanent fund will reside is not a significant question at this point, because I think everybody that knows anything about banking knows where it's going to reside. The question is whether we'll have an extensive umbrella loan program utilizing leverage, such as Senator Holman proposes, and there are many advantages to that program. But let's dispel a few of the myths and not encourage people to take an incorrect view of the permanent fund and what its purpose is and what can be done with it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr.
Rohde, you have the floor, Senator Holman.
Mr. President, request privilege of the floor under special orders. I'd like to suggest to Senator Rohde that he look at the revenue projections and see if that's not what he's talking about, and consult with the fiscal analyst that we have in Senate Finance, Mr. Barker, and with the Department of Revenue people to see if we truly have revenues sitting in our general fund to the extent that he's indicated. We do not.
Under special orders, Senator Clark?
No, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent.
There was one committee announcement yet after.
Move up to introductions, please.
Oh, without objection, the Senate reverts the introduction of guests.
Mr. President, I noticed in the gallery behind me the arrival of Senator Gravel and Heidi Boucher.
Welcome to the chamber, Senator. Though you didn't serve in the senile body, you did serve for many years in the legislature. You have the privilege of the floor if you wish to make a remark.
I think I used up enough time for the joint bodies yesterday, and I'd like to
Yes, I'm sorry we were a little short during your speech yesterday. At that time, the Senate was waiting about ankle deep in blood.
I understand. I missed the Q&A. They had no knives left for me. They're too busy using them on themselves.
Senator Holman?
Mr. President, under introductions, I request privilege of the floor.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Seated behind me is a former political opponent of mine, a good friend then and a good friend now, Mr. Harold Napoleon.
Speaking of opponents, why I see one of Senator Mulcahy's constituents sitting over there in the gallery that he probably can't see there. Yeah. Jeff Stephen, which he was a great assist to me passing the tax on raw fish. Not really. Very pleased to see you. Anything else on the introduction of guests? Can we go back to committee announcements? Senator Bennett?
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a little bit of advance notice, but it has reference to the regulations on hand trolling. And we'll hold hearings on those on the 4th of March at 7 p.m. We'll be here in the Capitol building. The exact room will be announced later.
Thank you. Any further business to come before this body? Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate to adjourn until 2 p.m. Monday.
Considering there's not enough troops left.